Psalm 37, verses 23 to 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The title of the message this morning is this: being in the right place at the right time. Everybody say that out real loud, please. Say it again a little louder, please. Several years ago, Kathy and I and our kids had come from down under to America for 3 weeks, and we stayed for 12 years. And we were doing meetings in the Northwest, and it came to December, and we're in Seattle, and we discovered that churches didn't want people like me in their pulpit in December because of their Christmas programs, and understand that. And so all of a sudden, we had no meetings, nowhere to stay, and no money. So I start believing God. I'm praying, crying out to God, quoting the scriptures, doing all the things that you should do in faith to get a miracle. And nothing happened. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Had a pastor tell me, you shouldn't say that, Al, to people in church. I said, well, this is what happens. Yeah. Nothing happened. So the more nothing happened, the more I became frustrated. Anybody been there? Yeah. And so one day I'm driving down Interstate 5 in the automobile. It's snowing. There's ice on the road. And out of frustration, I start yelling at God. I'm actually getting a clap for that. But I'm yelling at God. And I'm saying things like, where are you? How come you haven't been listening? How come you haven't been paying attention? Where's the miracle? Where's the provision? And by the way, God, I didn't ask to be here. You brought us here. And then all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, I slam the brakes on. I slide all over the icy road. And then I realize that this driver needs to get off the highway for the sake of everybody else. I pull into the parking lot at the next exit of a convenience store. I got $2 left. I say, I'm going to go in and buy a bottle of water, so you know it's a few years ago. And as I'm walking in, I open the door. There's a young man walking out, and he goes, hey, aren't you Al Fury? I mean, yeah, why? He said, my pastor's been looking for you for 3 weeks. Why? Because somebody in the church has gone away for a couple of months, and they've left their home to you and your family while they're away, because you'll take care of it, and plus it'll be a place for you to stay. Plus, somebody's given the pastor some money, so you got money for Christmas and New Year. Then I discovered, and I understand, God had been listening. God had been paying attention. God was working a miracle. All he had to do was get me in the right place at the right time in order to receive it. Oh, hallelujah. In our reading, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word good was placed in there by the translators, so it's actually the steps of a man, a person, are ordered by the Lord. Ladies, I've said this before, please don't get upset with the fact you're called a man. It's a generic term. Us guys have to live with the fact we are called the bride of Christ. The word ordered in the original Hebrew means to adjust, to direct. The word uphold in verse 24 has a meaning like this. After a person falls, whether it be from misfortune or error or both, Jehovah God upholds you with His hand. The word uphold in the Hebrew language, and I love this, literally means full support so you can raise yourself again. In other words, he's saying, I'll not allow you to go down so far that you cannot raise yourself again back to where you were. Come on, hallelujah. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14, and I'll just make a few remarks about some of the verses leading up to where I'm going. I was reading this one time, and I'm sure you've had this experience, and I saw something, I went, no, that's not right. I went back and reread it and discovered it was right. And I was amazed. I've read it like you have, hundreds if not thousands of times, heard sermons on it, and discovered something that I'd never seen in it. So here it is. Abraham is called to offer Isaac his son as a sacrifice. Verse 1. God tests Abraham, says to do that, and Abraham says, here I am. Verse 2. Take your only son whom you love to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. All right. Now let's move to verse 3. He found wood, prepared it for an offering. Verses 6 and 7. He took the wood, his son Isaac, fire, knife. And Isaac asks him a question. Where is the lamb? Which tells us Isaac did not know that he was the sacrifice. Abraham replies somewhat strangely in the light of what he was asked to do. He says, God will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. What's going on? Abraham is being tested. He's on trial. But something else is now being tested. The word of God, the promise of God to Abraham. Because a few chapters earlier in Genesis 15, the Bible says God took Abraham outside and told him to count the stars if he was able, so shall his generations be. Kings and nations shall come out of him. Now, if Isaac is killed, that does not happen. So you got Abraham on trial, but he's still trusting the word of God. Hallelujah. And he steps into the arena of faith, believing that even though he is on trial, God will come through. Verses 9 and 10. Abraham hears the angel of the Lord calling him by name, tells him not to lay his hand on Isaac or to do any harm to him. Verse 13, Abraham looks behind, sees a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. He took the ram, offered it as a sacrifice to God instead of Isaac. Now watch verse 14. Abraham then calls the name of the place. Everybody shout the word place, please. Shout it out loud, please. He calls the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He doesn't call God Jehovah Jireh. He calls the name of the place. Jehovah Jireh. I was preaching that one time, and a pastor sitting on the front row said, "That's not right." And he's reading, and all of a sudden he goes out loud, "Yeah, it is right. He's right." He calls the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Why? Because Abraham was in the right place at the right time, and because he was in the right place at the right time, God supplied for him in that place. Come on. We do know that one of the Hebrew names of God is Jehovah Jireh. But as far as I know in the scriptures, he was never called that in the scripture. Called the name of the place. Now hear me. When I read that, that changed a lot of things. See, as believers, we have a tendency to go here, go there, seek some gift here, somewhere here. And then I found out, wait a minute. Where I am is where God provides. Come on, hallelujah. Yeah. You're here today. This place is called Jehovah Jireh. At home, that place is called Jehovah Jireh. At work, that place is called Jehovah Jireh. At school, that place is called Jehovah Jireh. Your automobile can be Jehovah Jireh. Come on, hallelujah. The place where you're at is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is a place as well as a name. Places are important to God. In the Old Testament, in the original Hebrew, the New Testament, in the original Greek, when translated into English, place names, it shows something happened there of significance. So places are important to God. The word place appeared four times in Genesis 22, verse 3. He went to the place God told him. Verse 4, he saw the place afar off. Verse 9, he came to the place God told him. And verse 14, he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham knew what he was saying because he was in the right place at the right time, and God provided in that place. If Abraham had have gone to another mountain instead of Mount Moriah, then probably nothing would have happened. Being in the right place at the right time is your place of provision. It is there that God will meet and supply your need. The truth is, as believers, and I'm ministering to believers, we are always in the right place at the right time because God is directing our steps. See, God is vitally interested in everything we do, big or small. Kathy and I are just like you. We have our supermarket that we go to shop. Every once in a while, we end up at another supermarket. We go, why did we come here? I don't know. We just came. Then we get in and we discover that much of what we were going to buy is on sale. Well, uh-oh. God directed our steps. Come on, are you hearing me? You go, oh, God's not into that. Oh, yes, he is. He directs our steps. My son, David, said to me one time, nearly 2 years ago, Dad, why didn't you buy a decent car? For $50 a week more than what you're paying, you could have one of the finest cars that are made. Now, up until that point, I was quite happy with what I was driving. Then I started looking at automobiles because he was on me all the time. He'd call me and say, have you found an automobile yet? So I'm looking. I go away to preach, pick up the paper one day, and a particular automobile that a friend of mine had told me I ought to look at, they're selling demonstrator models. So I get home, I go into the dealership, I ask about the demonstrator models, what it constitutes a demonstrator. They said it's got between 3,000 and 10,000 kilometers. 1,000 kilometers is 600 miles. Oh, so you lower the price? No. We lower the interest rate considerably on the loan, which saves you a lot of money. Oh, so we try out the automobile, and the guy says to me, so what would you like? I said, here's what I'd like. I'd like a brand new automobile, not demonstrator, at the interest rate of the demonstrator. Here's what the guy, the salesman, says to me. Do you know what I'd have to do to pull that off? And I went, no, but thank you. You just told me you can do it. And 2 days later, I was driving it at demonstrator interest rates. And just a couple months ago, before I came over here, I was driving past the dealership, had a little time. Thought I wasn't really going to do it, but I just wanted to see what would happen to upgrade. Actually, I was getting greedy. I thought I might find another deal. And I go in, and the gal that does all the financing looks up the stuff, and she goes, Mr. Fury, where did you get this loan from? I said, right here. She said, oh, no, you didn't. I said, oh, yes, I did. She said, oh, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. I said, you guys gave it to me. She said, we would never give you that. And then the guy that heads up all the salesmen comes in. He said, yeah, we did. She said, well, don't trade in right now. We could never match that. I went, oh, that's all right. This place, this dealership, at that moment, when I bought the automobile, became Jehovah Jireh. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, come on. It became Jehovah Jireh. The Lord's provision shall be seen. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 in the King James Version says, God has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Our steps are ordered by the Lord wherever we are. Good times, seemingly bad times. Exciting places, tough places. Wonderful situations, difficult situations. I call those places growing places. Not going places, growing places. I'm not saying God does all that, but he certainly uses it. When Daniel was in the den of lions, he wasn't the one that was afraid. The lions were afraid. Hebrews 13:5 says this. He, God, never, everyone say never. Shout it out loud, please. Shout it again, please. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Come on, hallelujah. You may not be able to feel him or see him or whatever, but he's still here, hallelujah. Mount Moriah, a place where mercy triumphed over justice. Solomon built a temple on Mount Moriah. The Lord appeared to his father David on Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah was known as a place of worship. Abraham's descendants recognize it as a place of provision. The Israelis today still have a proverb that goes like this: on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. See, it's all about the timing of God. It's not good luck. You show up somewhere and you go, wow, it's lucky I came here. No, no, no. God directed your steps. Come on, hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Solomon said this about timing. Ecclesiastes 9 verses 11 and 12. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor to the richest, but time and chance happen to them all. It's not about the fastest, the mightiest, not about money, whether you have it or not. He says time and chance, and the word chance, if it was translated today, would mean opportunity happens to everybody in the timing of God when we're in the right place at the right time. So how do I get into the right place at the right time? Well, when I answer this, and I want to tell you it's not particularly deep, and the religious people will probably get upset. We don't call them religious in Australia. We call them super spiros. Only God can put us in the right place at the right time. You can't get there because of what you do. Come on. We do what we do in God, not to get things, but out of relationship. Come on, are you hearing me? Come on, are you hearing me? We're not into legalism. Our God is a God of grace. Here's the answer. To get in the right place at the right time, just carry on as normal. One amen, a couple little laughs, everybody's stunned. I did warn you that it wasn't particularly deep. It's not about what you do. It's about relationship. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, are you hearing me? Just carry on doing what you're doing. See, God opens doors and God closes doors. But when a door is closed, some believers want to kick it in. In fact, I used to rebuke the devil so much that he went and complained to God about me. Yeah, I didn't do that. You did it, God. Now, understand, balancing that there are certain things we have to fight for. If I get sick, I'm not just going to accept it. I'm going to fight for my healing. Come on, are you hearing me? If I need a miracle, whatever it may be, spirit, soul, body, I'm going to fight for it. Hallelujah. But when God closes the door, he closes it for a reason. The reason is he knows what is on the other side and he doesn't want us there. So just move on. Don't complain and whine, but God, I wanted to go there. He knows what is on the other side. And he closed the door. I go to Peru every year to a man called Robert Barringer. They say he's one of the 10 greatest missionaries in the world. And he's got a phenomenal church, planted churches all over, done amazing things for the sick and for the poor. And got the ear of the First Lady, President, some people in the Congress and Senate. And I've been in his car when they've called him. And I discovered something. Every morning when Robert heads to the church office, he stops to get a cup of coffee at Starbucks Coffee House, even in Lima, Peru. And my hotel's about 2 minutes from there, so sometimes I'd meet him there. And if I got there first, I'd order what he wants, or he'd order what I want. Now, here's the deal. If it's open, we go in, we order the coffee, whatever, and we have it. That simple. If it's closed, locked, nobody inside, we don't go look for a hatchet and hack it down and make our own coffee because we want to be in there. We just move on to the next place. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says this. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Come on, how you hearing me? Come on. Oh, being at the right place at the right time can be a weird place. Zacchaeus, Luke 19. He's up a tree. Jesus walks by, looks up. Hey, Zach, I'm coming to your house today. He's up a tree. But he was in the right place at the right time. Come on, hallelujah. He wasn't in church. He wasn't in a prayer meeting. We're not against that, of course not. But he was up a tree. Because the religious folks go, well, it was a special olive tree. It was up a tree. Zach. Jesus just happened to look up and see him. That's how it works. All right? 1 Kings 17, 8 to 16, Elijah. He's at the brook Cherith. He's prophesied over the king. Everything came to pass. Ravens are bringing him food every day. God says, all right, now it's time to leave here and go on to Zarephath. Just throw this in, it's free of charge. You can't believe God for others for miracles until you can believe God for yourself. He believed God for supernatural provision of food. Then God says, now you can go minister to this widow. Come on, Ahab. And then after that, he takes on the prophets of Baal. What was it, 400 of them? You can't take a city till you can minister to others, and you can't minister to others till you can minister to God for yourself. Come on, are you hearing me? Come on, hallelujah. So, he goes over to Zarephath. It's a widow. God says she's going to supply for him. I guess he was thinking rich widow. I would have. And I'm different. He gets there. She's picking up sticks. And the moment he realizes that, he knows immediately she's not rich. Because that's what the maids were doing. But here's all these widows doing because their husbands have been killed in the war. He goes up to her and says, make me a meal. Don't even say please. And she replies, I have enough food for me and my son for one meal, and when we're going to lay down and die. He says, I'll eat it. She cooks the meal. And here's what the Bible says. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, and they ate for many, many, many days. Come on, hallelujah. Zacchaeus was in the right place at the right time. This widow lady was in the right place at the right time. And God found her. Hallelujah. David, 1 Samuel 16, verses 11 to 13. Forgotten by man, but not by God. Samuel the prophet receives a word from God. One of Jesse's sons is going to be the king. He goes over to Jesse's house, makes the announcement, lines up the sons. They're all good-looking, educated, tall, well-built. And he says, it's not one of these. I probably would have gone, I missed it. He goes, do you have another son? I said, yeah, it's just David. I mean, it's just David. He's down taking care of the sheep. That's all he's good for. Well, go get him. They go down and get him. Finds out he's short, red-headed, got freckles, and I ain't talking about me. He said, he's the one. But the point is, he was down taking care of the sheep, but he was in the right place at the right time because his father knew where to find him. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Do you know, in the Old Testament, most of the people that were called to ministry were not called while they were praying or praising God. They were called while they were working. That shocks a few people. Moving on. Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 in the Old King James Version. Ruth's husband had died. She renounced the gods, followed Naomi, her Jewish mother-in-law, back to Israel. Both were poor. And she took a job as a gleaner, which is a dirty, filthy, back-breaking job. Verse 1 of chapter 2 tells us that Boaz is a man of great wealth and he owned many of the fields. Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Ruth says, let me go to the fields and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. Attitude is everything. I know we live in difficult times. I realize that. But instead of thinking you're going to get laid off, why not change your attitude to, I'm believing for favor? Verse 3 of Ruth 2. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, it's an actual English word, was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. The word hap is an old English word. We get the word happening from. And the word happening, or hap, is the Hebrew word kara, Q-A-R-A-H. And it doesn't just mean happening. It means a right or correct happening. Wow. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, and it happened, that Boaz came along and fell in love with Ruth. She had a right happening, which gave a God connection, and that place became Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Come on, hallelujah, right in the field. When you're in the right place at the right time, there's a God happening, a God connection. I close with this, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. We read it before. Time and chance, remember the word opportunity, happens to them all. In the Old Testament, God puts his signature to a few phrases, a few words, not many. And what it is two Hebrew letters are placed next to each other and appear, in this instance, after the word happen. It is the Hebrew letters Aleph and Tav, which are, in effect, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Our letter in English, A and T, because they read right to left, T and A. Now, we don't read or hear about the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We hear about the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last. But here it is, the Hebrew alphabet. And what it means when this happens is this. It literally means this. God is the first and last word in all of your and my situations. And He will make everything beautiful in its time. And where we are will have a God connection, a right happening. And the place shall be called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord's provision shall be seen. And He's putting us in the right place at the right time. And He signed a signature to it, assuring us, guaranteeing that He will do it. Hallelujah. He will do it. Take this finger. Hold it up, please. Point it down. And say, this place where I'm seated and standing is called Jehovah Jireh. My provision shall be seen. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I'm flying on an airplane from Sydney to Los Angeles. The plane is hardly anybody on it. I'm sitting in an aisle seat, as Kathy and I generally do. And in front of me, there are two guys. About an hour into the flight, I hear one guy witnessing to the other. So I'm not listening in. I'm eavesdropping. It's my cup of tea. And the guy is witnessing. He's doing great. And he says something that just excited me. So I undid my seatbelt, jumped up, leaned over the top and go, hallelujah, man, that's great. And he looks up, he says, wow, you're Al Fury. Yeah? He said, I've been looking for you. I want you to come to New York City and do some ministry. I just happened to be on the plane. Hear me. I never prayed about getting on that plane. I just got a ticket and got on it. It's like the children of Israel. They've been pursued by the Egyptian army. God opens up the Red Sea. Here's what the religious people do. We better pray and see if this is God. Well, who else would do that? Man, if I'm there, I go, you pray, I'm going across. Come on, hallelujah. God wakes me up one morning and says, you're going to Cuba. Great. Didn't say anything else, I went back to sleep. People ask me, did you ever pray about going to Cuba? And I go, no. N-O, no. Why not? Because He said I was going. I prayed about what to do when I got there, but He said I was going. That's redundant. Next thing I know, He opens the door and I'm there. Come on, hallelujah. God is directing your steps, whether you know it or not. Amen.